Hey, we'll call this meeting to order. Has everyone had a chance to go over the agenda? Any changes necessary?
Are we dealing with council embeddables?
Not on this
Increase?
agenda. We can do it on the next agenda.
We already touched on that.
But we haven't done a review of the bylaw.
Oh.
Well, no, what I was talking about is increasing the amount, yes, the stipend, whatever you call it, monthly or every 2 weeks. It's usually done by this council for the next council.
Yeah,
But
we discussed that.
we did, but we didn't actually do a review of the bylaw. So what we
Sure.
can do is we can have that on the agenda for the next, I think our next session is October 1st. So we can have that in there.
Okay. Any other changes to the agenda?
There's no change.
There's no, that's what I meant. Any more discussion about the agenda? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Did we make a motion?
Oh, somebody may call. I did this last week too.
Make a motion to accept the
Thank you.
agenda as it presented. I'll second that.
Just an eager beaver. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Hey, adoption of the minutes. Everybody fine with the minutes the way they are, or is there any changes? Hearing, do we have a motion to adopt the agenda as presented, please?
The minutes of the last meeting.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Make a motion
Jeez.
that we approve the minutes of
You
the
checked it
already
September
late
3rd.
meeting. Are you feeling
Thank you. Yeah,
that?
no.
I'll
Okay,
second
second.
it.
All those in favor? Aye.
All
Okay, our delegation, take it away.
All right.
And welcome. Announcements.
Have to get one of these from my office.
Yeah.
August. This is the August report here. Not unlike last year, we actually had a very nice August. Usually summer picks up for us, but August is that time where I think everyone's off on vacation, hunting, doing all those other things. So call volume was actually quite low, a little higher from last year, but nothing unmanageable. We did have a very, very large court docket in August with several trials that lasted several days. And the judge involved elected to put all of the decisions down the road. So we actually don't know the outcomes of any of the trials that happened there, but when I do know them, I can certainly pass that information along. Getting into the meat and potatoes of this. So we were called to the Goldust Lounge a couple of times at the beginning of summer. We ended up contacting, well, sort of was a dual thing, but the liquor inspector, just because they were doing stuff all over the territory, was trying to prepare for the summer, so they wanted to know what was going on here. So it seems like all the issues that or concerns that we had were more or less addressed over the summer. So the only thing we're running into is that when staff are directing people to leave, they're getting offended, or they're cutting them off. People are starting to yell at the staff, racial slurs, those kind of things. So we were running into that quite a bit. Which is unfortunate, but I hope the staff knows that we'll just go there anytime and remove people, which we have done on several occasions. So, as far as traffic enforcement goes, throughout the month, we were on the road quite a bit, and there were several charges for driving while disqualified, without insurance, speeding, pretty much the usual charges that you would expect to see throughout the course of a month. There weren't any impaired drivers, oddly enough, for
Yeah.
the middle of summer, which is nice. Detachment as a whole were pretty active. We went to a lot of things. Greg was in the softball tournament. I was there with my family. Went to the 40th anniversary event, which was quite lovely. They did a suicide awareness walk with the Little Salmon. So, anyways, we were all quite involved as per usual. And then school ramped up. So Greg has resumed his role as the student resource officer, and he's been going 2 to 3 times a week, doing gym classes, being with the youth, sort of hanging out, interacting with them, helping teachers with their criminal record checks, all sorts of stuff. So on that vein, I know elections are going to be coming up here soon, so if anyone needs criminal record checks, pop on by, we'll help you out. The big incident that took place, I'm not sure if you guys were made aware of it. Justin was actually there when it all took place, but we had a paving company, I don't even know if you can call them that, come into the community where they were trying to sort of take advantage of two businesses here. So, being the Sunshine Restaurant and the Coal Mine Campground. Basically, what these people do is it's an ongoing scam. It's happened all over Western Canada, but they convince people, whether they're elderly or business, that they have leftover material from a job in the area, and they'll give it to you at a cheap price, and then they turn around and try and charge you 20,000, 30,000, whatever dollars. Fortunately, no one here paid any money to these scammers, and we were able to kick them out of the community. We actually ended up seizing about $150,000 worth of stolen equipment from them.
Stolen equipment.
Yeah, so part of their scam was in BC, they ended up renting this equipment from a legitimate company, and then they were supposed to return it in a couple of days, and they just never returned it, and then went to the Yukon and tried to do their business. So anyways, we recovered and returned all of that equipment, aside from one truck, who we're still trying to figure out who owns, but
So
working on
that's
it.
why the restaurant has that flat.
Yes.
Roll gravel. That looked nice.
It was starting to. So, like, usually the job is actually like quite poorly done for the price that they charge. Like, they charge the price that you would see in, like, downtown Vancouver for that type of work, but they put on this very thin layer, they throw some emulsion product on there, and then they roll it, and then they say, here's a $40,000 bill. So it's actually pretty shoddy work, and it's probably not going to last. They did leave a big pile of gravel for them because ended up chasing them off. So Sunshine can use whatever that how they please. Yeah, that was their sort of our big file for the month. It's still an ongoing investigation. Basically, these people were we've identified them. They're all from Ireland. They came over here, and for lack of a better word, I'm not sure if this is PC, but they're sort of like gypsies. They come over and they do this all
Damn
across Western
cousins.
Canada. So they came through the Yukon and got caught, and they're probably going to continue just down in Alberta or BC or wherever. But anyways, and that we have or will be laying charges against two of the individuals involved. So
Wow.
yeah, that is pretty much what took place in August. Unless you guys have any questions, that'll be it for me.
Did we talk to David about the traffic on this road?
Not yet.
Shall we?
Absolutely. Perfect opportunity.
Last meeting we discussed a lot of people are speeding along River Drive. We're trying to find ways to get them to slow down.
Ah, okay. I actually have a solution.
Good.
So I just something that detachment hasn't had, which I used to have in Southern Alberta. I figured we should have one too. So our modernization is that we bought a laser. It's a very expensive piece of equipment, and we have someone coming up to train Mark and Greg on the use of the laser. I'm laser trained, but we will now have three people trained on the laser, so we can just go at any time, stand anywhere behind a bush, point and shoot. And it's insanely accurate. It's almost impossible to fight in court, and I think if people see us out there on a more regular basis doing laser, then they'll be and knowing that we could be behind any bush, maybe they'll be more apt to slow down. So that'll be how we combat that, because we
Wow.
had people talk to us about River Drive specifically,
Okay.
and that's part of the reason why I put the order in for the laser.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
Wow.
no problem. So hopefully you see us poking out behind a bush here in the next little bit. The training happens on October 3rd, so
We're after that.
after October 3rd, everyone will be trained on how to use this laser.
Okay. I won't give warnings to anyone I know.
There you go.
Oh, I was just going to suggest we put that in the minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I made a comment like I don't even respond to fires as quick as people go by my house. It's just ridiculous how fast there's three or four of them that's just steady.
Yeah, there's a couple trucks that, I see them go by my office, but then by the time I would get out in the parking lot out and get them, they're long gone. So.
Oh, good. I wish all our problems were that easy to fix.
Yeah,
We'll
well,
get the
what
tickets
else?
for God, of course.
Yeah, You tell me, I'll see what I can do.
Perfect.
Yeah, hopefully, hopefully that does help curb some of that those issues.
Right. Right.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you very much. I'm the chief returning officer for the Little Salmon election. So I want to say thank you for doing all those criminal record checks.
Yes. A lot of very last minute criminal record checks.
But, yes.
I didn't want to impede the election in any way. So we wanted to make sure that we got those all done. Normally we farm them out to Whitehorse and they do them on Tuesdays and Thursdays only. But we have the ability to do them ourselves. It just takes a bit longer. So anyways, yes,
thank you.
Our pleasure. We were happy to do so.
Thank you.
And we'll do it again next election season too.
You got 4 years for
good
little salmon.
Anybody have any other questions? I guess not.
Okay.
Thank you for being vigilant in our community.
Yeah. Pleasure as always. Take care.
Okay. Thanks very
thank
much.
You.
Okay, correspondence. I take it we have none. Okay. Council reports. Doris, take it away.
I don't have anything to report as a councillor, I don't think. Except that I've changed my mind and I'm running the next election.
Good for you.
And I went to the AYC board meeting, which we can talk about later.
Okay. Okay, Dennis?
Same thing. I don't have much to report other than the same thing. I went to the AYC in Dawson. I love it. It was great. I wish I could remember half the things we talk about all the time, but no, it was.
That's why we have the ability to take notes.
Yeah. Yeah, if someone starts talking, I'll say, oh, yeah, it's okay. But, yeah, that's how my memory works. But other than that, no. We'll go in so far.
Okay, thank you. Helena?
I have nothing to report. I've been just busy with Little Salmon's election.
Okay. Just before AYC, Minister Mostyn popped in. So I told him of our conundrum of time restraints and asked him to get a hold of the premier for me. He stopped on his way back and told me that he had talked to the premier and that the timelines were not sufficient to do what we wanted to do. So that will be left to the new council. We all know what I'm talking about, so we'll just leave it at that. That's it for me. It's been pretty quiet. Over to you, Matt.
Oh, actually, we have
sorry.
The bylaw.
Bylaws. I'm sorry. Travis.
Yes.
Welcome.
So there isn't too much of a report for Travis to present. It's just for everyone to review. And this is going to be just a quick introduction for Travis to let everyone know how the first couple weeks and the first almost month of the position has gone.
Okay. So how did the first month go for you, Travis?
It's like trying to drink out of a fire hose.
Sorry?
It's like trying to drink out of a fire hose. Lots of information.
Yeah.
We figured out that we need a legal basis for what we're doing, and hopefully we can work on that. And
bylaw here.
Yep. We're trying to get the uniforms up and ready. And yeah, been out on the road, kind of trying to figure out the ebbs and flows of the community. So yeah, it's been fun. I like it. Yeah, and he's been very helpful. These two have been incredibly helpful.
Sorry, I should have started out with welcome to the community.
Yeah,
welcome back.
It's fine.
No, it's
fine.
Welcome
already,
back, Carter.
Already shy enough. It's good.
Yeah.
Great. I got six kitty cats. I need you to cat.
What's that?
I have six kitty cats in my yard.
Oh.
Not yours, I'm guessing.
We've been feeding them because I don't want to see them die, but I don't know. I think they've gone feral already.
Yeah,
the mom definitely is.
Yeah, the animal control part has been a huge deal. Even just in my patrols, I see areas of town that really need some attention. So next couple of weeks is going to be getting the equipment that I need to deal with that and watching YouTube videos on how to catch cats, because that's new to me. So we'll get there.
Sounds
but cool. But if you email me your address. I'm sure we can figure out a way to get a hold of them.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks.
Like the mom, you can't even get within, I'd say, maybe 5 feet, and she's hissing at you.
Maybe
we
can
live grab her with some wood grub. Yeah, we probably could. Because we've been feeding her, so
don't feed her for a couple of days.
Making sure she starves. Terry literally went through the freezer looking for old freezer meat and was cooking up the food for the cat. I was like, seriously?
Yeah, see, stuff like that is figuring out my legal authority to do that stuff. And then the tools and equipment and you know what to do with them after we catch them. So
yeah, because
there are steps to take, right? And that's what we're working
on. Yeah, because I put it on Facebook trying to find out who the owner of the mom was. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, and then all of a sudden I noticed, I went, Terry, she's got milk. I said, there's kittens around. And then about a week and a half later, we saw they started seeing the kittens. Well, they're not. They're not kittens. They're kind of big now. Like, they're getting there. And then there's two other cats that are males running around. So it's just a matter of time.
Wow.
For it to...
cats running around. That's new to me. So.
Well, exactly. Yeah, like, I've lived in that place for 30 years in that area. And this is the first year year and a bit, I guess, now, that cats have been around my house.
Well, I was kind of laughing about it the last couple of days because there's a dog hanging around the store and stuff like that. I'm sure you've seen it. And every time I drive by, I could ask, hey, did you see that dog? No. It's like, it's already turning into like those cartoons, you know, where the animals all run away when they see the van coming. So,
I was going to say, if someone said to you, see the dog hanging around the store, the answer is, which one?
Which store?
Yeah, not which store, just which dog.
We had one dog that walked in and would not leave, so we went down to the nurse and opened the door, and he went right out, and then he was looking back, and gotcha.
Start taking a shortcut to the lounge.
Please. Yeah, shortcut to the lounge. Well, good luck with your new job, and I hope it's very successful.
Thank you very much.
For you and the community.
I hope so, too. I was doing a great job.
Yeah. Anybody
I haven't cried yet. Yeah. We're off to a good start.
It's one hell of a tough job today.
It is.
It'll be fine.
He's the right guy for it. He's doing a fantastic job, stand up job.
The old saying, everybody else's dog's a problem, not their own.
I'm just reading your report here. It's very well written. And I'm curious to know if we have money for a train.
For training?
Yeah,
training. Yes. So obviously we're going to have to look at this as third party. When me and Travis have discussed it, most likely predominant training applications and procedures will be held off until next year's budget, so we can avoid having to do a supplemental budget this season. We have the wiggle room in our labor resources to, let's say, take on the allocation of what the labor's requirements or the scope and position are.
Mm-hmm.
But all we could really afford was the preliminary training that's done through the MACA BioLearner site, mm-hmm. as well as through sending Travis respectively to Dawson City.
Right.
To, I guess, shadow their respective by law enforcement officer for 3 days or 2 days.
It was day and a half.
Day and a half.
After all the travel and stuff.
So. Yeah.
Would we be able to send them to another community to do the same?
We will, but that will be happening in the next.
Not this year. Okay.
Not this year. We'll be looking at January, February.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
You don't want to go in January, February.
No,
a warmer month.
I really don't.
Well, we can't start discussing it until at least that.
Yeah.
That job, right.
Oh. Right. Well, thank you very much for coming here and explaining it to us.
Appreciate it.
And once again, welcome to the community. It's nice to have you guys back.
Thank you. I really appreciate
probably
it.
Probably won't recognize your kids anymore.
You know what? In a couple of weeks, I'm not going to either, so it's fine.
Oh.
My son is getting to the point where it looks like he might actually be taller than me. So, every day, yeah. So, they're
not taking after their mom then, right?
Sorry?
He's not taking after his mom.
No. And he lets everybody know that.
I've forgotten his name.
Craig.
Craig.
Yeah.
And Livia.
Yeah.
And how old are they?
She is 17 and he is 13.
17.
She's
17.
Yeah, remember you have a daughter. I don't remember the son.
How long have you guys been gone for?
We left in July 2020.
Well, that's not so.
Yeah.
Well,
long enough time to come back, and you know, there's a lot of new stuff going on here, so it's long enough time. Yeah. Long enough time to get away. And it is. It has been nice being back. You know, seeing.
Are you coming back to UMS?
It's a discussion we could have for sure.
Oh, you just talked to Nicole.
Okay. Yeah. No, I would have to get all recerted and everything for that.
So. And they're doing it. They're just gung ho on doing a lot of certifications right now. There's actually, they're considering an EMR course in November.
I'll have to discuss with my supervisor at some point.
It's weekends.
Is it weekends?
It's going to be on weekends.
The EMR
course? 4 weeks. Yeah. 4 weeks of weekends.
That's tough. And you break up the learning, it's pretty tough.
Yeah.
When it comes to exam time.
All that to give mouth to a mouth to a dog.
Yeah. That's a different kind of training.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, welcome.
Thank you. No. All right. I got steaks at Odessa.
Yeah. Okay.
Have a good evening.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Thomas.
Hey, CAO report.
All right. So we have a few things on the docket. This is just outlining some of the administrative activities from September 3rd to September 16th. So as aforementioned by a few counselors, we did have a AYC quarterly of board and admin forum that was in Dawson from the 5th to 7th. We did get some CMG progress updates. I guess they don't want to use the word negotiation, but it seems that that's what the process is. It's ongoing. They are looking for some incremental increases to base funding for peripheral users, direct municipal users, per dwelling, whole gamut of stuff. I think there's a proposed asset maintenance increase from 0.3 to 0.5%. Ultimately, we'd be looking at a reflection in the immediate future of having an impact of probably about $130,000 to $140,000 direct increase from the CMG. Good things, but still doesn't necessarily move the needle to where we need it. We understand the CMG isn't meant to be necessarily a driver for balancing our budgets. User fees and property taxes are really meant to be that interim difference. But unfortunately, as everyone knows here, we've been pretty aggressive on doing that the last couple of years. So we can't really, you know, dip into that procedure too aggressively otherwise we really dissuade the user from using our services. There is a federal infrastructure portion that we discussed about at AYC during the amend forum. Pretty much just concerns of where long-term infrastructure funding is going to come from. This is about the first time in 20 or 30 years that we don't necessarily have ISA funding. Obviously, there's a little bit of changes into what infrastructure funding is going to be looking like. I think there's a new fund out right now called GCIB or GICB, which is, again, another infrastructure fund. But we're looking at, you know, $3 billion in total for that fund for all the communities, all the First Nations. So, again, there's not going to be huge intakes in these funding streams. We did review some CCDF draft agreement topics. Each community has respectively received the new draft agreements, and we've reviewed them. We've sent back some feedback, and the process has been updated. So that process has been going on for the better part of almost 2 years. And it's reached its conclusion, which is a good thing. Revenue generation challenges. So we did have a couple of reports of just how revenue can be generated by the municipalities. So that was respectively done by actually someone who's in the gallery, Corey Belmore. So we want to say a big thank you to that.
Thank you, Corey.
We did look at some things such as options, including a tourism levy, some additional insurance driven generation from protective services. But again, most of those avenues that have been explored when it does come to revenue generation by municipalities, we've done our due diligence on. So there's not really necessarily going to be the new lightning rod of revenue generation that comes out of this. Maybe that's the new extended producer responsibility that comes as part of the landfill. So there will be some potential revenue that comes from that, but still none of these will necessarily move the needle to the direction we necessarily need with all these new infrastructure facilities that we've been operating and maintaining. So key points of that revenue generation report are just included in the next two bullet points. We do have an ongoing YesAb submission process and review process ongoing with our solid waste management facility. That's been fun. So pretty much we've had two information requests concerning our composting as well as our groundwater sampling. So we have had reported exceeded manganese levels that will have to be included in an adaptive management plan due by, I believe, quarter four of 2025. So we've got about 12 months to work through that project. But the funding of how we're going to pay for these adaptive management plans for our landfill are a little bit of unclear. You know, we're having environment ask us to meet this need, but there isn't necessarily, let's say, clarity of where this funding is coming from. We might be using gas tax, our own capital reserves. Again, it will be a conversation and discussion for additional nuance and detail. There is just a inclusion for biannual monitoring that will continue. There has been a well that's been identified, that's monitoring well number six, that's going to be decommissioned within the next 10 years. Senko has been actually working on that process currently over the last couple of weeks. There was a little bit of additional request for information regarding our organics program and how sorting of the actual sorting and stoking of the composting pile procedures would be overseen. So we've been responding to that with our contractors at Tetra Tech and Balanced Biogas, as well as the hazardous material handling. So, you know, having effective procedures for handling acid batteries or lead batteries and storing them effectively for when those e-waste dates are coordinated or those hazardous waste dates are coordinated. So the next bullet point is just the aforementioned manganese levels compliance. So YG Environmental has just requested the adaptive management plan. We're going to work on that.
What does that entail?
The adaptive management plan, it's not too clear right now. We're going to have to be pretty much looking at sampling of these exceeded compliance levels, I believe, in the last 12 years. So it's a pretty exhaustive data request that, well, I'm hoping we have a lot of it. That's where we're going to start first. It's just trying to, let's say, retrieve that data, assess that data, send it over to our friends at YG Environmental, and then get the communication process going. Of where do you want us to take this?
Okay.
So then we have next up is the bylaw updates that are included here, as well as an excluded bylaw that could have legal repercussion that we'll have to discuss a little bit about in camera after this. So pretty much we do have an overview of the four bylaws that are included here and the rationale behind why are we reviewing these bylaws or developing these bylaws. So a lot of them, as you know, we've had these discussions about traffic control issues and let's say speed limit enforcement issues on River Drive. So let's say the implementation of a traffic bylaw would be imperative on, let's say, working around and curtailing some of those issues. So we do have a breakdown of the reasoning behind the public open spaces bylaw. That's a bylaw that's already been on the record. So this is just going to be an amended bylaw, and then the previous rendition will be repealed. Major updates included in that one are just having escalating penalties and appropriate penalties for what the offense is. So, you know, we used to have, I believe, a fine schedule that had the same contrast for urinating in public or a public sex act as it is vandalism. And ultimately, those aren't the same offense. So we do have something that kind of, let's say, reflects the gravity of those. We do have the animal control bylaw. So good progress on that is we did have a request for mayor and council to have that flipped over to our respective partners of the First Nation. And I've been in talks with the ED over there. We're going to be outlining the time next week, reviewing it for possible joint service on this. So, awesome. No, that's really great news, folks. We should be really, really happy about that. So again, the bylaw actually was very well received. And we're going to be taking it from there.
Wow.
Yeah, taking it from there. The traffic bylaw was as earlier mentioned, we have some direct needs when it comes to safety concerns, public usage concerns, as well as establishing some control devices when it comes to dealing with these things. That's outlined in the bylaw 307-24, which is the traffic bylaw. And then the last one was the bylaw enforcement officer bylaw, which is pretty much working through the Municipal Act and deputizing our bylaw officer, myself, as well as the public works officer as deputized agents to enforce bylaw citations and tickets. So pretty similar to what's required in other jurisdictions. Just make sure that we have the proper enforcement mechanisms that are required, you know, for administering these bylaws, such as traffic, open spaces, animal control. We just talked about that one and some of the progress we've had on that movement and some of the issues that actually have been arising from that as well. So all these are, you know, very relevant to what we're dealing with on a daily basis. And then from the suggestion of Councillor Belanger, we'll have the Council Indemnity Bylaw on the books for the next two agendas. So we can get those two readings before this term's out of session. Asset management, as mentioned by our Public Works General Manager in our previous council meeting on the 24/17 regularly scheduled council meeting, we did acquire three new major asset fleets in the municipality. So we do have a payloader, an excavator, and a motor grader now. We are going through the asset management process, as well as specifically with the excavator and even more so the motor grader. There is a lot of skill-specific training that's required on these heavy equipment machines. So we're going to actually be starting this process of reaching out to, I'd say, skill-specific facilitators that have some nuance in that field and they know what they're doing, so we can get everyone certified. Next up, bullet point is just key municipal election updates. I know I've been talking about this for about 2 months now, but we're right in that season and right in the flow of what's happening with that that timeline. Only major change here is we do have a municipal election candidate forum scheduled for October 7th for anyone that is interested in re-election. Candidates will be present to present their platforms and engage with the public and try to necessarily, you know, gain some endorsement from the constituents. We do have an Elevator UConn School of Government proposal. So that was also discussed at AYC for training for strategic planning, as well as municipal governance orientation. I think that's planned for the end of November was what was discussed at AYC. So if we have some returning officials, you'll probably hear about that a lot more from me in the next few weeks. If we have some new officials, obviously this will be news to them, but we'll be hearing about it quite a bit as well. We do have our Siemens Dizago facility operations training going on right now. So that's for Carmex Recreation Complex control modules, covering everything from security systems, HVAC systems. Yeah, the whole gamut of what's required to operate that facility for efficiency and safety. We've realized that there's some areas that we can augment some of our spending as well as some of our energy usage and maybe reduce some of the impact on our budget from the expenditures utility-wise in that facility. So as much as that training is a little bit of an expense to the municipality for us to conduct it and host it, we will see some really awesome benefits and incentives from it. YG infrastructure updates about some projects that are going on. So we did end up having a TPA transfer letter sent to Dave Albiser back in August regarding the landfill tender and some of the delays in the progress going on. We did follow the precedent set by two other respective UConn municipalities that had the project management money TPA transferred to the municipality for them to manage the actual landfill activities for regionalization. Pretty much those are, you know, permanent fencing solutions, waste scale installation, a permanent attendance station or landfill staffing hut. Unfortunately, they've ran into some ongoing delays due to consultant turnaround. We did originally rescind the letter because Dave Albiser had and the whole department had provided us some reassurances that that tender would go out before, I believe it was September 1st. Mm-hmm. It did not meet that deadline, unfortunately. So I believe it will probably be due to either this term of elected officials or the next term of elected officials for us to revisit that conversation, revisit that topic. Realistically, we're not going to be breaking ground on anything this year, even if we were able to get that TPA over to our side for leverage and management and oversight. But we will have to get our ducks in order for this to be a process in the renewable year.
Was it our doing that delayed it, or was it their doing that?
It was their doing, unfortunately. Yeah, so they're having tough, let's say, detail-oriented issues in the parameters of the RFP. And they're just hearing so many different things that they can include for the $650,000. And at some point, you know, you kind of have to draw the line and say, well, this is what we're going to include. Let's make the best of it. So, yeah, it's mostly just been a consultant turnaround issue and trying to fit a lot into the scope. Public workshop, we were supposed to be having an update on the tender of that in quarter three of this year. Unfortunately, there's some ongoing design delays, again, due to consultant turnaround issues. I think that's going to be a common theme in these YG updates that I'm going to be expressing and mentioning. So we're hoping to hear another follow-up from our project manager on that at some point in quarter four of this year. So, you know, next, you know, four or five weeks, we should be having an update on what's happening with the public workshop. With the CarMax Recreation Complex elevator permitting, it was taking way too long for this to happen through YG scope. So we just actually went out to the contractors directly and we got it substantially permitted. And it's insured and it's completely vetted and it's operational. I guess that's the point. And a long-winded way of me trying to say is we waited a year and a half for YG to close the file on that. And we worked around it. Chanel did a great job. Fantastic communication on her part, dealing with multiple contractors, multiple agencies and parties. And we got it done in 2 weeks when they were trying to get it done for a year and a half. So,
The elevator works in the rec center.
Yes. We're fully operational and fully accessible, which it wasn't a hard switch. It was always a data wiring issue and making sure everything was online correctly. And just the fact that we finally found that out from the contractor and it was communicated to us, it wasn't hard for us to action that and change that, right?
So nothing had to be done to that elevator?
No. Councillor Mitchell, what had to happen was a telephone jack had to be connected into with a cable.
I said that, you know, because I used to have a guy, I'm trying to remember his name, he came out and service that. He had it going all the time, and other people said this thing, and anyway.
So the elevators are good to go, both of them.
I think people are just trying to sell us a new elevator, is what they're trying to do.
Sometimes they, you know, we're not called the Village of CarMax, we're known as the Bank of CarMax, right? Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, all these vendors always see us as. it's a perfectly good working elevator, especially the one in the arena. It's never been used before. There was no issue that it shouldn't have been working, so. Yeah, it was a telecommunication issue. We got that rectified.
Oh, wow.
We just mentioned to the project manager, if we knew about this and it could have just been communicated to us 18 months ago, we could have hired a telecommunication specialist through our IT support, and they would have diagnosed this pretty darn quick.
The guy that used to call it, I just thought of it. His name was Al Simpson. And he said, it's a very simple elevator. He said, you know, to work on. So when people are saying that it's already said, but I don't know if he's still around. I haven't seen one for years. But yeah, he's
worth looking into.
Yeah. The main thing is don't let that elevator go below the floor. Then you got to jump it to get it up. And yeah. But other than that elevator.
Yeah, it's back up and running. So
yeah.
River Drive compacting and resurfacing. So we've been receiving a lot of feedback from residents regarding the road condition of River Drive as a main artery in town. So we did have a communication with YG. They were really hoping to get the compacting done and the resurfacing done this year. We're hearing it's going to most likely be quarter two or quarter three of 2025. Yes. So that's River Drive, as well as what they had done last year, I believe, on Rowlandson. They had done some surface works, and that did affect the road grade there as well. And we're hearing about a year delay on that.
You wish to get the elevator people to tip over the drive.
But, you know, there were sewer lines that needed to be done. Like, there was emergency. It happens. It's sad, but it happens. I drive that every day.
And then Sewers Lagoon Project, as of me writing this report last week, there wasn't too much progress on this, but we are meeting Little Salmon CarMax First Nation, Village of CarMax, our consultants on the project, as well as YG. We're all meeting tomorrow, working towards a service agreement, and what things could look like for the parameters of getting this to completion. So we have a lot of excitement attached to how that meeting is going to go tomorrow concerning the solution to the project. Any other questions concerning the CO report or?
What's happening to our pool?
So yes, we have Greenwood Engineering as well as the mechanical engineers from IBS coming up on Friday for a site visit. And unfortunately, they couldn't source the steel anchors that were required until early September. So contract is ready to go. We're just pretty much going to be doing the walkthrough and then unleashing the powers to be.
No swim this year.
No swim this year, but we have included in the scope of work that we will do an operational run through to make sure everything's A-OK. Our staff is trained on, you know, opening procedures as well as closing procedures. That's really what a lot of these issues did come from in the past. A, it was a bleeding expenditure, yes. But B, sometimes we always didn't have the required oversight or knowledge of how to close this properly, right? So, you know, you have a little bit of a freeze-up happen that affects some of the moving components, such as, you know, filters, pumps, things of that nature. So it's not a dead-in-the-water project at all by any means. It's just unfortunately it's come through quite a bit of a logistical delay.
Okay, thank you, Matthew.
No worries.
AYC, Doris. Okay.
As I mentioned, we were at the meeting, Matthew and I and Dennis were at the meeting on September 7th. And I found out who the operations person is, Kelsey Gamble, and she's Stacy and Shelly's daughter. Hazard.
What, their father?
Their daughter.
Daughter.
So Stacy and Shelly's daughter. She's, they're both. And I met Bonnie Dixon as well. They're both very competent, and I'm sure we're in good hands. Matthew mentioned there some newly elected training in November. I don't know, would that be Zoom or live?
Sounds like it's going to be in person. Oh, yeah. We discussed it during the event forum. Yeah, they're going to have Christine Benty as well as Jordan Stackhouse, everyone there, to coincide with the administrators and the finance officers all being in Whitehorse for the Sustainable Communities Forum presented by Community Services. And then this will piggyback right off of that for the elected officials. So we're hearing, you know, end of November, early December. Sorry about that.
No, that's perfect. Thank you.
No worries.
And I don't have a resolution update prepared, but I will. And that would be it. Thank you.
Anything to add, Dennis?
I remember they talked about something. Remember, Doris, I was going to put my 2 cents on this, whether or not I'm just new here.
Oh, that's what we send you there for, to give you your 2 cents.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of people want a lot of people move into their communities to up the infrastructure. But yet the infrastructure doesn't catch up to, you know, now you need a new sewer, now you need another dump. And I'm just scratching my head why we just seem to be going this route where we're trying to drown ourselves. You know, they say we can't sustain. I've been here for 45 years, and I remember the Yukon going through crashes, and we always succeeded. And, you know, we've always managed. And it's just building means that we're building. It's a cat. So I was surprised that they had very similar issues, but we're going through, meaning, okay, the hockey rink is going to cost us a pile of money now, so we try to move more people here, but then we need more sewer, and we need more dump. You know what I mean?
It's a vicious circle.
Yeah, and I just wanted to ask why, because they're all saying the same thing. Well, now we need to, then why are you trying to move so many people here? Why aren't you just satisfied? You know what I mean? You know? Like I said, when I was rec director, everybody was asking for artificial ice. I phoned Dawson, I phoned Whiter, and when I seen the cost, I avoided it like the plague. So I stayed with Natural Ways for so long. Not that I didn't want it.
We held three public meetings and we warned people, this is what's going to happen and these are your choices. What do you want? And they all went for the...
Well, no, everybody was always for it. Even when I was in there, there was one guy even called me an idiot, saying that I didn't have a clue of what professional curling was. And I said, yeah, I do, but that's your, because this guy curled professionally. I said, but we, you know, our poor curling club just nearly makes it by. And, you know, you can't work Bonnie Cooper any harder or Grace Wheeler, Elma. I'll probably be forgetting, but George Stupin, you know, these people are volunteers, you know, and people, for them to get this club, they'd have to have all these events to pay for their ice time. So anyway, that's why I avoided it, because not that I didn't want it. But like I say, just moving more people here, now you need another sewer. You know, it just, where does it stop? So I'm just a little surprised that everybody's in the same boat we're in. Every community.
It always has been that way.
Yeah.
And it will probably never change. Every community goes through the growing.
But when does the bubble burst?
Yeah.
You know, when does the bubble burst?
Well, New York probably took, 400 years to get to where they are. won't finish in our lifetime, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's another conversation.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, we'll move on to new and unfinished business.
Bylaws.
Oh, sorry, bylaws. I'm missing that. Parks and Open Spaces bylaws, 305-24, third reading. Anybody need a review? Nope. Can we get a motion to do third reading, please?
I make a motion that we get bylaw 305-24 being the Parks and Open Spaces bylaw third and final reading.
Seconder?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor?
I have a question. When you ask, does anybody have any questions? Should we be opening up the...
No, not till question period.
Because they can't question that?
No.
Okay.
Not till question period. They don't interact with us at all until question period.
They reference that question period.
Yes.
Okay, moving on to Animal Control Bylaw 306-24. I'm giving the second reading. I have a motion to put it on the table, please.
I'll make that motion for Animal Control Bylaw 306-24.
Seconder?
I'll second it with a question.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? Any questions?
Question is, did we hear back from the First Nation?
Yeah, he said that they were very much in favor.
They were meeting on Wednesday next week.
Yeah, I just wanted to double check that I heard right.
Yes, that is correct.
That is awesome.
That's great news.
Yes,
great
it is.
So okay. We won't give it third reading until we hear back.
Yeah.
Is that your way of saying second?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Just double check. I just want to double check.
No, that's fine. We won't do a third reading until they're comfortable with it.
Okay.
Call the question. All those in favor? Aye. Okay. First reading for traffic and parking bylaw 307-24. We're putting this on the table tonight.
Now we can table it if it needs further review. We do, I believe, have an inclusion for a traffic control device, which is a speed limit decrease from 50 kilometers, I believe, to 40 kilometers is included in here on River Drive. Obviously, that could be a point of discussion or contention for some members of council here. But I just wanted everyone to be aware of that.
I actually love
that Farrell has decreased And bring it down to 30.
That could be an option as well.
That'd be a little bit slow. 40, I think, is enough time for people to. Whiters has gone to 40 a few places. That's why I brought it up on the last meeting, was the 40. That's just my take on it. I think 40 would be.
And this would be 40 all the way to the bridge?
40 all the way past the bridge.
40 way. No more than 40 in the limits.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Unless otherwise specified. And then we may have some specialty zones, such as school zone, I think, is reduced down to 25 here, or it stays at 25. But the recreation complex is included in that area as a 25-kilometer reduction zone.
School just because it's 30.
Well, 30. So I stand corrected. It's 30.
Yeah.
But the rec complex would be the same. So it wouldn't be subjected to the 40-kilometer speed limit for the rest of River Drive. The rec complex area would be 30 kilometers.
As is Pocket Park.
Yeah, correct. Yes, correct.
So you would need to put signs up there.
Yes. And that's included in this bylaw.
Okay.
Pocket Park has 30 and people still use.
Well, hopefully this, you know, discourages people when they see a lower number, right?
Yeah, laser.
And the laser is another, you know, control device from a third party backup that is critical.
What did Dave say? Race him in his office, they're going right by the police station.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't get out quick enough to get them. So, I mean, they're not even respecting the school zone.
So, hopefully, you know, us doing this incrementally will start sending the message of what we're trying to accomplish, right?
I love this.
Perfect. And at some point, once we do have more clarity with a bypass route and services along the highway for the truckers, there could be scalability for this to include a dangerous and hazardous goods bypass route. You see a lot of municipalities lump that in with their traffic bylaws. This will have an opportunity for us to revisit that when time comes.
To revisit the bypass, you mean?
A dangerous and hazardous goods bypass route bylaw.
Well, I thought that was the whole meaning of the bypass.
It is, but we would still have to enforce that through a bylaw on the record saying, you know, we want to avoid heavy equipment and large freighters on this road due to subjection of this bylaw.
That one will be a little tricky.
That's going to be way trickier than this.
Because when people stop at the store is so handy. That store has locks.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of people are going to come in there and then turn around. You know, they're going to.
It's only really viable, and I know, Councillor Mitchell, we had this discussion a little bit in the past, if there was a service option at the bypass route. So that, you know, necessarily these freighters don't have to come into the community and then, you know, do a 180 and turn around.
These freighters aren't stopping at the store. They're huge trucks that we very, very seldom get the ore trucks stopping at the store.
Well, maybe there would be less, let's say, issues with us implementing something of that nature then.
Kendall was always worried about, you know, to reduce traffic. And I said, they don't stop at the store anyway. They drive right by. So,
well, it's a good contrasting conversation between what Councillor Mitchell has expressed and what you experienced, right? So again, maybe with that new information coming to light, this wouldn't be so difficult for us to augment or work around, right?
Yeah.
But again, that's going to be a conversation for future iterations. The most important thing is we got to start by getting a traffic bylaw on the book so we can control speed limits, do all these, you know, safety mechanisms that are required, plus have a little bit of recourse when we have, you know, our big payloader going out at 6 a.m. to do snow removal, and we have a few, you know, vehicles backed up on a certain, let's say, very important artery for clearing that snow traffic, right? So we would have a little recourse in our cache.
Okay. Still looking for a motion to put this on the table.
Make a motion that we give bylaw 30724, the traffic and parking bylaw, first reading.
Second. Any discussion that we've already had? Okay, hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Aye.
Are we going to give it a second reading? Should we give it a second reading?
I was going to leave that up to your discretion of how comfortable you are with the bylaw. If there's anything further we should look at.
Reading through it, it looks fine. And my only discussion was I hate to see downtown core new business. That's all I'm saying. But
I don't think it's going to.
Can we make changes after the second meeting? Okay, good. Because I missed something in the animal control.
Okay, no worries.
Next up. Do you guys want to do second reading on the traffic and parking bylaw?
Sure.
Okay, I'll give a second reading to traffic and parking bylaw 307-24. I'll second that.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Aye. Okay, municipal bylaw enforcement bylaw. Bylaw enforcement bylaw.
Yeah, I know it's a bit of a redundancy. Yeah. It's a real hard one to word this.
308-24, your first reading. Anyone want to put it on the table? Please.
I'll give first reading to municipal bylaw enforcement bylaw 308-24.
I'll second it.
Second it. Thank you. Any discussion on the matter?
I have a question about number 5, limitation of authority.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how council would be able to authorize him doing anything outside of our boundaries.
Well, let's say if we do a joint service agreement for animal control enforcement, and there could be, let's say, some agreement between both parties to application of the fine schedule on, let's say, a situation where the oversight could be settlement land.
Mm-hmm.
This is where that would apply. Just leaving that wiggle room open, so if we do get that joint service agreement,
all it would take is a motion of council.
Yes,
I see what that's all about.
Then. Yes, just to kind of expedite things. Does that kind of make sense to us?
Yeah, I was just thinking of outside of the boundaries, but I didn't think about within the boundaries, outside the boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got one of those interesting situations.
Donut situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah. We really had to word it appropriately, right?
Yeah.
So I'm glad you caught that, counselor. Thank you. And it was done with a distinction with a difference. So there was a reason for that.
Any other questions? Concerns? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Aye.
Okay. If possible, we could maybe request the second reading from the administration on behalf of the mayor council, if possible.
I'll make a motion that bylaw 308-24 being the municipal bylaw enforcement bylaw second reading, please.
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion? Question? Meaning of life? Okay, hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Aye. Hey, new and unfinished business. Village of CarMax policy reviews. Long-term lease rental policy.
So major details here is there is an inclusion for an annual 4% increase to be included in all leases. Just to incur for inflation and other cost increases. And anything that's longer than 12 months is defined as a long-term lease or rental agreement.
Is there a possibility that if it's a slow year, there won't be an increase, or is that an automatic 4% increase?
Well, I think for the next little while, it needs to be an automatic 4% increase. We haven't tabled any increase on our lease agreements in the last 4 years. So we really got to make up a little bit for that deficit. And it's a good mechanism to ensure something like that doesn't happen again, right? Unfortunately, we never had a policy on the books that outlined, hey, we got to be reviewing this on an annual basis. I think it would be best practices that we did do that. For example, when we were leasing out the office adjacent to us to Yukon Housing Corporation, they hadn't had a lease increase since 2017, I believe, 2017 or 2018. So again, that's revenue that we lose out on that we're not necessarily going to make back. At least this makes sure that our interests are looked after.
Okay, I'm just thinking as a prospective leaser, if I was wanting to rent space, knowing that every year it'd go up 4% would be
a lot of books.
Yeah.
At least you could budget for it.
I could budget for it.
But and ideally, this is designed as a policy predominantly for one agency or party. YG is our predominant tenant. I want to say they lease about 90% of our leasing spaces. And we need to accredit to that. Like Councillor Hansen respectfully said, they are an authority that can budget for that.
Yes. I'm now, thinking of the little guy.
We can definitely include a provision that, you know, if someone has exceptional circumstances, this could be discretionary at the motion of Mayor and Council, possibly. Would that be an inclusion that everyone would be comfortable with?
I think I'd feel more comfortable if we have little guys. If we start leasing space, you know, once the hub is built to a barber or a hairdresser or a nail salon or whatever, I don't want to put them out of business by raising the rent.
That's understood.
So is that just for this building in itself, or like, for example, the rental spaces over at the fire hall?
Rental spaces at the fire hall,
all of our
rec complex.
So have we got something in place already for those? Like
for the government leases?
Well, where this issue came from was, it was, let's say, pushed on us or influenced us by YG that they inherit the old lease rate that was grandfathered in at the old fire hall. I pushed back critically on that because there's a lot more space, amenities, and services in the state fire hall, right? So I originally jumped up with a 22% increase because it was based off of what that grandfathered figure off of the old location was. We had a lot of back and forth going back with YG Realty and Leasing on what a fair solution is. And I really put my foot down on the ground that, well, we necessarily can't be the broker of where you need a little bit of, let's say, what's the word I'm looking for? Discretion. You know, we can't be the ones that if you don't have enough in your coffers or your budgets, that we make a whole difference. We've been doing that for way too long. We can't keep doing that. Realistically, Council, to answer your question, Councilor Belanger, this is where that whole policy came from to fruition, was how these negotiations have gone with renewing the YG leases of these new facilities. Because utility costs and insurance costs of these facilities are quite expensive.
Yeah.
Yes, Councilor Hansen.
Right after you say that the rates will increase 4%, you say that rates will be reviewed and adjusted as necessary.
Well, that gives us a little bit of discretion where, I guess, Lee is just talking about.
Yeah.
Right? So if we have, say, a situation where a little guy can't afford 4%.
So that's in there already.
Perfect.
Okay, as long as future councils recognize the need for small businesses to get started.
Would everyone feel more comfortable if I included a definition of where this could be applicable for that, let's say, provision that was just mentioned by Councillor Hansen? Would it be worthwhile to have an accompanying definition of where this could be?
I think so. You just made a stipulation for new businesses just starting and to give them a helping hand, because we want to encourage more business, because more business means everything.
Absolutely.
More people.
So there'll be maybe degrees of leasing or something.
Yeah, there could be.
Like government, small business.
Yeah, we can use a similar to what we have in our defined tax code, right? One way to work around it. Absolutely.
Okay.
That would be the better way to do it.
I'm happy. Is everybody else happy?
I'm happy about that.
Yeah. So we're still giving a second reading. Have we had them?
These are just policies.
Yeah, these are just required motions.
Yeah.
Just motions.
I'll make a motion that we approve and put into practice the long-term lease rental policy.
With those amendments?
With suggested amendments.
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
Hold back, you guys, up till your nose bleeds. Just joking. No,
we're good. Okay. Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Aye. Okay, Village of Carmack's recreation subsidy policy.
So major changes to this policy is to previous iterations of similar policies and rec committee procedures. This would require a submission of, I believe, income or tax assessment. I'm down to observe of that.
Proof of income.
Yes, that's something the first time we do require proof of income for recreation subsidy. We've never required in the past. Other municipalities have gone down this road. Yes, Councillor Hanson.
The applicants must be residents of the Village of Carmack, then the First Nation are they included?
Yes. So I will change that wording to include that.
Okay. When I think of Carmack, I think of it as a whole. I don't
the
think
community
of it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think of it as just us.
That's an important distinction. I apologize for that oversight.
Capital V is just the village.
When you state income, eligible for subsidies will be based on household income. Where are these subsidies? Like, where are these numbers?
I know in other municipalities, when we ran through these things, we usually use a cost of living index, you know, where you're living and what the actual diagnostic is. So, for example, usually when you're living in Whitehorse, and you compare your cost of living index to Edmonton, it's 100 versus 118. We're usually using something of that nature.
Mm-hmm. So are we really requiring people to show us their paychecks, which is not comfortable for me?
Oh, this is why we're having that important discussion, right?
Okay.
Other jurisdictions thought that this was important, that we know we're getting subsidies out to the people that require them financially by a threshold. Other municipalities think that that's not required. I think this is where we have that important discussion from everyone at the table here.
It's going to go over like a lead balloon.
It won't be. Yeah, it won't go over well. It won't go over well.
No, because let's face it, we know there's people out there that access funding and don't need it.
I'm one of them. I golf and I submit it to the rec committee each year and I get back $700. And I'll be honest, I probably don't need that, but I do like it. And, you know, I don't have golf available here in Carmack. So
do we ever run out of money?
No, we've never ran out of money in any of the years that I look back in the last 4 years of financial statements and that funding. So we actually end up using the surplus of it to pay for the fireworks display each New Year's. So we go collaboratively with the First Nation on that. And yeah, it's always worked out well.
Is that the lottery's grant?
Yep.
It used to be $9,000 a year. What is it now?
Oh, we're up to 22.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's actually respectively seen some growth.
Yeah.
Everything else hasn't, but
in the '90s it was like $9,000.
Yeah. So it's not too bad.
Neat.
Hmm. So it's never really been an issue.
So we don't have to give back what we don't use.
Have to use it all. You gotta use it all.
We use it up by finishing the year with the fireworks.
Yeah, and doing Christmas parties, you know, with the First Nation, you know, the bazaar, right, those types of the gifts, exactly.
Oh, okay.
That type of stuff. So that's what we usually use the variance on. So ultimately, it could be up to the discretion of this council.
Something that's not broke.
Well, that's why I'm asking here, you know, just making sure that we're doing our due diligence. And if it's not a broken system, maybe it doesn't need to be poked with.
Or maybe all it is that there's a maximum.
Well, there always was a max.
Yeah.
I was there. There was a max. I can't remember what it was, but I know it was something.
And those still exist.
There's something like 60% or 80%.
Something. It's 80%.
I don't think it was
to a maximum of $800 or whatever.
No, there is no
maximum.
We used to have that included.
No ceiling.
And then when that was reviewed by us, I believe last March or about a year and a half ago, there was a motion put out by the council with Chance that we remove the maximum.
I would be more comfortable having a maximum than asking people for their financials.
We were running into the issue where we had certain groups using more than the maximum, and it was always the same group, right? So that was still rubbing some other user groups the wrong way. Ultimately, this system will never be foolproof. It won't be. It can't be.
You could limit their participation.
Mm-hmm.
You can access it three times a year, That might be a way to get more people in there.
Mm-hmm. And I believe we do have a provision in there right now that a user group can access it maximum 3 times per year.
No, oh, wow.
For individuals, I believe it could be 5 times per year, or there might not be any maximum on individuals.
That would be a way to, that'd be a maximum.
The previous maximum were $800 per user,
it was
800 per user and 2000 per user group. But we were running into the issue where we had a user group sometimes asking for 4,500 and the rec committee would make a motion that would then be backed up by council and we're okay with that, right? That's not always the best way to, I guess, make sure we're managing this fund, especially if there's, you know, other groups that aren't, you know, attributing to a large team that has influencing power. Sometimes there's just a single user that maybe does a sole sport or exclusive sport, and they might not necessarily get the same time of day.
My issue is, I'm never going to apply for it. Say, in my circumstance, I don't want to give you my particulars, and you don't know what's going on in my life. I may be maxed out, even though I have a large income. I might have contributions to kids in Africa, or, you know, versus someone else who has no contributing things, and they have all, they have, some people have more free money than people with money. And I don't have money. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, every person has his own affairs.
Narrative and story. And we don't want to penalize, say, a large family that maybe has a GDP, or let's say a net household income of like $141,000, but they might have 7 kids playing sports.
Exactly.
You know, we don't necessarily want to penalize that. So again, this is where it's all food for thought and important.
I don't
want
to go into all the little things and know exactly what everyone's doing. It's none of our business.
No, it's not.
It's not. No. I'm not comfortable with that at all. I liked it the way it used to be. Like I said, we had our maximum and that's just the way it was.
Yeah.
You know, oh, well, we want more. Well, these are the other funding pots. This is what we have. That's it.
I think that's a fairer way then.
I had no problem with it.
What would what would the elected officials like to see as the process that's included in this policy? Keep it as is? Include it back to the way it was before, where it included an inclusion for a maximum or a cap, or, you know, go with this suggestion of really verifying and validating people's information. I don't know if that's the right approach, but, you know, again, there's 3 options on the table there. We kind of need to think, what is the best one?
So what have you changed from the last one to this one?
Just inclusion of supporting documents for financial status. Just
and there's no.
And whose idea was that?
Oh, that was just me from researching how other jurisdictions.
Justin mentioned it one night.
He has mentioned it a few times as well.
About how people with lots of money are accessing that fund. I think maybe that person moved away.
Oh, but with the limit, that would negate those concerns.
Yeah, I think that that would be a good idea to take out that supporting document.
So how does it sound? I come back with a redraft of this for October 1st with those inclusions that were just suggested.
Sounds great.
We discuss what we think the maximum should be?
Well, it probably should see somewhat of an increase.
It was 800 when I was in.
Yeah.
I know that there's been inflation. So, I mean, if we move up to 1,000 or something, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't want to get ludicrous with it. At the same time, I don't want to be holding families back. Like you said, it's not fair to say someone has 7 kids and they're just active.
I can come up with a couple graph chart options for you guys for next council meeting that outlines some of the consequences of, let's say we go with $100 or $1,000 cap, $1,200 cap.
So if we did
that nature,
we haven't had a cap.
Right? No, we removed the cap actually previously.
Okay, so we removed
there
the
was
cap.
A cap previously.
Has anybody? What's the highest that anybody?
$5,700 for a hockey team.
Well, that's a team.
Yes. So for an individual, the highest we've seen is $1,400.
5,700 for a hockey team. That's a lot of money.
That's where our concerns come from. Is it fair that we pay for one hockey team to go play in Whitehorse for $5,700?
For one?
Well, that's one for one hockey team to go
one,
play.
But how often do they play?
They play twice a week in Whitehorse.
Okay, but that's...
Well, that's for the year.
Yeah, that's for
that's
the
whole year. That's
season.
Okay, that's different. Yeah, no, that...
But, you know, when you have a $22,000 fund and, you know, one team gets $5,700 of it, we want to make sure that we avoid disparity. I guess
well,
that's what we're
yes, doing. That's a big chunk, but you're also that's usually about 18 players, you know, 12 to 18 players. So I wouldn't have a problem so much with that. You know, I
wouldn't say that 12 to 18
because
I would say that this team is a team, but maybe only five players are coming from Carmack.
No, probably closer to like 10 of them, and like six of them already live in Whitehorse.
Okay.
If it's a CarMax team, yes. CarMax is pretty much a CarMax
team. Yeah, but on one CarMax.
They're one of the rare teams that actually is a CarMax team.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of pickups there, then. They have a couple of guys, but no, they're actually, I got to be proud of them. They're actually a Navy team at most times. But still, 5,700, that's a lot. But like I say, there's 14, 18.
There's
a lot of people.
There's 16 individuals on.
So what is what they're asking for? Of that 5,700, what is it? Gas money?
A lot of it's gas. Sometimes it's tournament accommodations. A lot of it goes to 80% of registration. We can only accommodate 80% of what the submission request is. And there's caps already included on that. So there's a cap at, I think, of $150 per night of accommodations. I believe there's cap at 50% airfare if you're leaving the territory. And then if you're leaving the territory to participate in an event or an activity, I believe you can only reimburse up to 40 or 50% outside the territory. So there's already some pretty good caps on there. Obviously, we don't want to make it so restrictive that people can't access
exactly.
the money, right? All good feedback and suggestions that I'll include in the rewrite.
But if
I definitely want to get rid of the proof of income, though.
Yeah, that's it's nobody's business. It's not our business to know.
No,
I mean, we all know what individuals that they're both, you know, both working and where they're working. We know we have an idea of how much money they're making, right?
Yeah.
But then, yeah.
But like so we said, we have no idea what their expenses are.
Exactly.
Or how they manage their money. And why
exactly.
should the kids suffer just because parents can't budget?
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Very good point.
Exactly.
And that's why we tabled it, just so we could have that discussion and see what's the sounding room kind of saying, right?
Because you go to about 15 or 16 players and they're getting 5,700. That means each player is getting about $350.
Which is very fair.
That's for a whole year.
It's very fair.
I mean, when you put it that way, it doesn't sound so bad.
Easier bullet to bite.
A whole season.
Yeah, that's an easier bullet to bite.
It's not quite year.
Well,
it's just season.
Right.
Okay. No, that's not really that much, really.
Perfect.
Not when you look at it that way. When you hear the 5,700, it sounds ludicrous, but when you divide it over
how many people there are and how long it takes.
And even at 10 players, that'd be $570 a player. We're still under the $800 per person that I used to have.
Where that one person who gets the 1,400 could blow that in one trip.
Very,
you know,
very fair.
One person going to a swim meet. You know, I know I had that come out before. You know, they took the whole 800, one family, one person, but that was their math. So you do it. And another family had three swimmers. So, I mean, they got $2,400, but it was three swimmers.
Yeah.
Can't penalize the whole family.
Awesome.
But I think we should have a cap. I don't think we should be starting to look at that's.
We're all agreeing to that.
I can come up with some options and then, you know, have maybe two different drafts on two different caps and show you the consequences and some of the possible opportunities that can arise from that as well.
That sounds pretty good.
No worries, folks. Thank you.
Okay, so moving on to the Village of CarMax municipal advertising policy. We advertise?
We do.
People that advertise in our.
Oh, okay.
We sell board ads. That's our predominant,
Have we sold any board ads?
Yeah, we've sold about five or six. And then
are they out?
Four of them are up.
Oh,
we have three more coming up. So we're excited about that.
One thing that people ask, can you let it go a little bit longer, some of the advertisement?
Oh, those ones, yes.
It's a little bit quick for people to...
Yeah, I'm just looking. We're driving, remember?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we can
and
do that
some,
for sure.
Some of it's very blurry. Like, there, it's not very...
We'll play around with the pixelation.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also, in our last council meeting, we wanted, during lunch, morning time, lunch time, and around 3:30,
Slow down. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's a good one.
So this will be, I can make a different policy regarding what we do with the signboard, but this one will be just concerning directly outside interests using our means through our infrastructure facilities to advertise their special interests. You know, so to give everyone a very frank example, would we as a municipality be okay with Triple J's or the sex shop at Whitehorse buying a
board? The sex shop, yes. Right. Triple J's. I think it's
a discussion for all of us to have, right? You guys make the determination, but I'm just giving you the circumstances or what the situation could look like, right?
I figure they want to give us money. Let's take their money.
Well, let's hear it. I want to hear these things, right? So ultimately,
maybe don't have the love shop.
There's still parameters to this policy that I think I should just express. They still have to be compliant with Canadian Code of Advertising Standards. You know, so if they're going into like hate crimes or hateful dialect or speech, vulgar slurs, you know, that's an automatic no-no, regardless if we had, you know, representative officials really motion that in, being like, I think that's a good cause, that type of thing. There wouldn't be very much of a discussion on that. Village does cover cost of installation of these.
Prohibited.
We do have a prohibited advertising that I just included that as best practices, but I want everyone to discuss that because
so much for Budweiser.
Well, if everyone's comfortable with that on the selected term and the selected board, we can remove that prohibition from this policy. I just put that in there so everyone could understand when we do talk about what a prohibited advertising is, and we all came to the consensus from everyone at the selected official board that, you know, we don't want illegal substances or alcohol or tobacco advertisements in our rec complexes.
We should stick to health.
There should be general consensus is what I'm saying. These are issues that should be general consensus.
Look at the big hockey arenas. You're going to tell me that they would stop advertising there.
But they're not community run. They're there for the public to make money.
And we only have 500 people to pay for that bill.
Cities own some of those
centers.
At the City of Ottawa, when I worked there,
for
recreation
to advertise drugs and
alcohol. We did
accept,
advertisement sponsorships from local alcohol companies. We did. We didn't accept them from tobacco companies, but we did accept them from alcohol companies. Because a lot of times, you know, in those rec complexes at the City of Ottawa, we had a restaurant right upstairs that was serving the products that would be advertised, right?
We sell beer at your curling Bonsfields.
Not to my liking.
I don't think it's right if we're asking the kids to be a place to go. I don't think liquor, tobacco, or weed is...
Or pornography.
Or pornography. We're promoting a safe place, healthy,
safe place.
Yeah.
I do agree with that philosophy as the administrator, and you know, me having a strong recreation background, I strongly advocate in that.
Actually, that's one thing that came up with the AYRC was we were talking about the dress code, and that's offended somebody. You know,
City of Whitehorse is being taken to civil court over it.
You know, so everybody has a dress code, but one group of people don't have a dress code. I don't understand that. If the dress code is for everyone. You know what I mean? But yeah, this has come up now that...
So I have to wear a dress now.
With a coat on it.
With the coat, yeah.
Yeah, so
I don't know. I
I'm in favor of weed.
No, I grew up in a non-alcoholic family, and I saw all of these advertising on TV and that. It didn't force me to drink or anything like that. It was my choice. And I think that, I guess it all depends on how.
By advertising it.
Birthday, what makeup is.
by advertising it in your building, you're saying to the public,
it's normal.
We endorse those, yes.
Yeah. And that's why things are changing and it's gone that way. I grew up in the same thing. My dad was Irish. It wasn't a day that there wasn't a Guinness open or my mom smoking cigarettes. Well, they both died from cigarettes. My dad, not directly from cigarettes, he died from secondhand smoke. My mom died directly from smoking. So, I mean, we want to promote that to kids. Hey, kids, let's die. You know, like, I don't understand.
Yes, what?
They're going to die whether they smoke or not.
Yes, but why push it? Why push it?
But then you look at it, my grandfather lived until he was 94 years old, right? And he smoked. He
drank every day, folks. He didn't drink every day, but he smoked.
As an administrator, we're really caught in the middle because obviously we really need revenue for the facility to run it, right?
And that's what I'm...
But we also have a philosophy of what we're trying to project through our mission statement and values. And I'm like, oh man, we're caught in the middle here. It's a tough one.
Go after the mining companies. They can afford it.
Yeah. Has it been an issue? Have the Molsons been beating down our door wanting to buy space?
No, but we've had a pretty... With one of the cannabis retailers, we had a pretty receptive conversation about selling some space to them. And they have pockets.
As in advertising, or as
you're buying a board ad, yes, from us, and we want to know what's the best way to deal with this one right here, right?
If it says triple J's,
no, that's not the actual vendor in question. I was just using that as an example.
I'm using this as that. Just
triple J's canvas space is what
just triple J's and nothing else.
That could be a
fact. That could be the hotel in Cosmo City.
Yeah,
but then you can also have. Whatever you have. You can have it in like a little bit of smaller print, you know? Like name of the company and then what they sell, not in big letters, but you know.
That could be a workaround, yes.
They usually have to prove their ads.
It's just if I own the building and someone wants to put out an ad on there for sex, that means that I'm in favor of sex. That's how I look at it. I am. I just can't say that.
We want to be
we're on camera.
We want to keep in credence and in the forefront what kind of liability and risk we can expose ourselves to, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to do it. We promote family values.
Some of the family values are
I know.
Alcoholism, about, cigarettes, and substances.
But we have enough of that. And we're look at the money we spend on the RCMP to try to take it away.
The police report.
But whether we have a sign up there or not, everybody's going to make their own decision.
Yeah, that's true.
But
we're not
do we have to be part of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for everyone to make up their own mind. I just don't want to say, well, you promoted your buildings.
Yeah, maybe it's
look at the discussion we had.
Section 5 in there.
Look, go back and look at the discussion we had when Kendall wanted to put merchandise from the cannabis store into the store that was already selling that kind of stuff. You know, and the kickback that happened from that.
Yeah.
It was nothing that the store didn't already carry. We just wanted to move that merchandise over and look at the kickback.
Content that's discriminatory or offensive. Discriminatory or offensive, and that's determined by yourself.
That would be through administration's purview, yes. And that would be using our code of conduct policy that we passed, I want to say, a few weeks ago. You know, what could be defined as discriminatory, offensive, or in violation? We're not just, you know, using this on a discretionary by discretionary basis. We'll have that backed up by policy.
Have your law books on hand.
Exactly.
I think Section 5 could stay in there.
Personally. What's Section 5 saying?
The prohibiting advertising of the tobacco, alcohol, and illegal substances.
Yeah. Or advertisements that
contain
discrimination. Unless we just state, instead of prohibiting, saying will be reviewed.
Or
there's an option.
Like just.
Well, because then you'll get hounded. I know the word prohibited is, but we are here for health. That's the whole Well, I thought that's the whole thing about recreation, the village of Carmax, the First Nation, interagencies. That's what it was all about, healthy life choice.
There was a time they didn't even want a pop machine in there because it was unhealthy.
Yeah, that's one thing I got attacked on a lot with, that I kept the pop machine. That's one thing I wouldn't let go of.
And that could lead to an extension of a conversation. And we want to have, you know, sugary beverage companies included in that type of thing. Because, you know, school boards have had that discussion, and other jurisdictions have had that discussion.
And they've taken the pop machines out of
it. Yeah, they would. You know, for example, there's jurisdictions in southern British Columbia that will not let Pepsi or Cola advertise on their ring boards.
And then they have to take pizza night away then, too.
Well, and that's at some point,
where do you draw the line?
That is a point of this discussion, is where do we draw the line?
Okay, I accept prohibiting advertising number five.
I got in trouble when I was managing the Hornby Island Co-op, and I introduced Fruit Loops to the building. And this woman wrote it. They wouldn't sign their name, but how dare the new manager promote this? Our young kids don't need this kind of thing. Da, 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 and I wrote back and I said, it's my job to sell the products. It's your job to teach your kids the difference. Mm-hmm. So it says back out of my jurisdiction. And so, I won.
Well, sir.
Yeah. It's your job to teach your kids what's right and wrong, not mine. So I put that right back on the parents.
The sad part is, no matter how hard and how good you are as a parent or bad, you could have all the rules in your house. They go and visit a friend, and it's amazing what's happening in the house next door. So because like Doris or someone said earlier, not everybody values anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think if you're selling pop, you should be able to sell fruit juice too, or a healthy alternative, and let them make the choice.
Yeah.
But if we're selling what the concept is of a healthy environment and a safe space, not everyone has healthy environments or safe spaces at home. You know, if they're going to come in and see a Budweiser board ad, possibly, or whatever it could
that's
be.
That's just reinforcing that it's an okay thing.
It's not the greatest, you know, use of our space. So
we can make money other ways. I don't know how, but we'll figure it out.
Just talk to the gold companies. There's gold in them Orioles.
One of the companies, must be an exploration company, that closed the camp, gave a whole bunch of food to the food bank today.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice.
Really
nice.
I saw the pictures,
like
Lorraine.
17 dozen eggs or whatever.
Was that casino? I've heard something
before. No, it was a name I didn't recognize, which is strange.
I heard casino was doing something, but they're probably pushing to try to get their mind through.
No, it's some exploration camp, I would think.
Okay, where are we on this?
Okay.
Or requiring motion or further discussion.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the municipal advertising policy and put it into effect immediately.
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
Gee, maybe we
Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor.
Good discussion.
It is. It's a tricky one, you know. Where is money?
And just listening to everybody talk.
Yeah.
I mean, you hit the
Remember, nail. We're doing this for our constituents. We're not doing this for us.
I don't know if you can see those, but there's pictures of all these.
I got one question for you, Matt, that we're done.
Yeah.
Wow. The heat reclamation at the rec center, you were looking
at
it. We're
still looking at it.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're working with an engineering firm to work on a feasibility assessment study for our FCM application. I'll have an update on that probably in the next week or two.
That's awesome, because that'll help so much.
It will be. It'll be that's something I always say that doesn't move the needle, or does move the needle. That's like
that moves the needle.
I can't believe the helicopter.
I didn't go.
They're supposed to be promoting.
Yeah, you went.
Electric cars and all this.
Green energy.
That might have been one of the
cameras. Am I going to eliminate that?
I know.
Oh, maybe.
Let me scratch my head too when that happened, Dennis. I was like, oh my gosh.
I didn't know that until you brought it up.
It's the CarMax project.
So, hey, sometimes, you know, things are going to work around, right?
Well,
it's going to change hands again.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have question period.
Corey's up there.
Corey, would you have any questions for us?
No, I don't have any questions. Thanks.
Do you have any answers?
No, I don't have any answers either. Okay. Solutions.
Well, thanks for sitting through another dry meeting.
It was good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Good night, Corey.
Good night.
Good night, Corey.
Okay. Do we have an in camera?
We do. Yeah.
We do. Okay.